As many of us spend yet another week working from home, offices sit empty.
So if you go to Midtown Manhattan or San Francisco's office district, it's a ghost town right now.
A closer look at how this could hurt your community's tax base. Plus, the push to get a stimulus deal by the end of the week, a debate affecting families and the markets. And business schools struggle to deliver on the networking part of the experience because of the pandemic.
Students are not getting that, and they're not particularly thrilled about it, considering they pay more than $200,000 at some places to get an MBA.
It's Thursday, August 6th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. For the first time ever, Facebook has taken down a video posted by President Trump for violating rules against misinformation about COVID-19. Twitter also took down the video where the president claimed children are almost immune. The Trump campaign described the move as a display of anti-Trump bias by Silicon Valley. In Beirut, rescuers are searching for survivors and investigators are looking for answers following the explosion that killed more than 100 people. There's a focus on why more than 2,700 tons of highly explosive ammonium nitrate were being stored at the port warehouse. Lebanese officials say the explosion was triggered by a fire. A U.S. official we spoke to says it was likely an accident, but too soon to know for sure. Still to come, as families wait for news about a new stimulus package, markets are moving. A look at how a possible deal is fueling optimism on Wall Street. Looking ahead, we'll get our weekly look at unemployment claims today. If they rise or stay constant, it may be a sign the labor market recovery is faltering. We'll get a broader picture on Friday when monthly jobs data is released. For anyone filing for unemployment, the $600 a week supplement is no longer an option, at least for the moment. Bringing back or changing that benefit has been a point of contention during the stimulus talks in Washington. In addition, President Trump says he's considering his own options.
In the meantime, my administration's exploring executive actions to provide protections against eviction. Eviction's a big problem.
The president also talked about an effort to help Americans who are still working.
Very importantly, I'm also looking at a term-limited suspension of the payroll tax, something that has great support from many, many sides, especially some of our top economists and some people that we have great respect for.
Still, lawmakers are expressing optimism as White House negotiators hope to have a deal in place by the end of the week that helped to boost stocks on Wednesday. A bit of a test today of investor enthusiasm for IPOs during the pandemic. Trading is expected to begin today for the parent company of Quicken Loans. It priced shares below expectations. The question is whether that's a broader signal of the health of the IPO market or just a one-off event. And Uber, T-Mobile, and Bristol-Myers Squibb are among the companies reporting their quarterly earnings today. Just ahead, these days office buildings resemble empty shells. Will life ever come back? Some insight after the break. There are growing questions for office workers and companies as they wrestle with when, how, and even if they can bring people back into their buildings. Let's bring in the Wall Street Journal's Conrad Poutier. He covers commercial real estate. Hi, Conrad.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Conrad, like so many people here in New York, I'm working from home. But if I go for a walk or a run toward Midtown, it's a little bit depressing. It's empty. I'm curious, as someone who covers real estate, is this the next American ghost town? Where do we stand?
Yes, you really hit the nail on the head there. So if you go to Midtown Manhattan or San Francisco's office district, it's a ghost town right now, everywhere. And there is a very real economic crisis happening in the biggest cities. I think the big question for everyone, particularly for people in the real estate industry, is what's going to happen when the pandemic is over? What's it going to look like a year from now? What's it going to look like 2 years from now? And what I'm noticing is that a lot of investors are increasingly pessimistic about the future of the office market. They're basically saying this isn't just something that's here for a year and then we just go back to normal or all these office buildings are just going to fill up again. They're basically saying we think this might be a trend that's here to stay. And just to be clear, no one's saying we're never going to go back to the office. All these office buildings are going to be completely empty. What surveys basically show is that a lot of companies plan to use maybe 20% less office space, maybe 10% less office space. Maybe they have five offices and they'll get rid of one of those offices. So there's a very marginal changes the companies are making, but they could actually have disastrous effects for economies of cities and specifically for real estate owners.
Let's take that a step further, because an office building is not just a place where people work. It's not just a place where people get coffee or meet in the lobby to have a meeting with friends. It's a big contributor to the economics of a city such as New York.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, property taxes are a huge, huge factor in all these cities. The property taxes generated by office buildings, these small economic ecosystems, if you want to call it that way, like any office building, there's a bunch of restaurants that depend on them. There are hotels in the vicinity that depend on business travel. So if you lose a company in an office building, it doesn't just impact this building by itself. It actually impacts all these businesses around it. And you see that in Midtown right now, where a lot of restaurants are just closed, where a lot of hotels are suffering that normally depend on these office buildings and that right now just don't have a source of revenue.
Rent is not cheap. Companies are facing layoffs and big losses, yet they have to pay rent. How can that happen during these dire fiscal conditions as we are seeing now?
I think you raised a very important point, because there are two things that are happening here. One is companies are realizing that actually you can work remotely pretty well and you don't need to have everyone in the office at all times. The second thing that's happening is that we're in a recession and everyone's trying to save money. And saving money on real estate is one of the most obvious ways that you can save money, because if you have a huge office in Midtown Manhattan or in downtown Seattle, it costs you a lot of money. And a lot of companies are basically saying, well, if we have to cut costs here, I'd rather get rid of some real estate than, you know, lay off a bunch of people. The challenge that companies face is that they're often locked into long-term leases. You typically lease an office for 5 years or 10 years. So you can't just walk away. You can't just say, all right, that's it. I'm not going to be in the office anymore. And that's good news for landlords, because it basically means they're protected at least for a while. But it also means that this might be a drawn out process, that we might not see all the distress happening in the next 6 months, but this might be something that goes on for years and years and years, because all these companies that right now are deciding we might not need as much office space, you might not notice that for 3 years when their lease is up, and then they decide, oh, we're just going to not renew this lease. But it might be a problem that's with us for a while.
And finally, a question I'm sure your friends even ask you, is the office of the past completely extinct, or are we going to enjoy office life as we knew it once again?
No, I absolutely don't think that the office, the way we know it, is gone or extinct, or that this is the end of the office. I think quite to the contrary. People are going to be happy to go back to the office. And even the companies that say they want to have more people work remotely, even those companies also say that they think the office is very important for them and that this is a place where people can come together and be productive. So the office is going to be here to stay. I think it'll change in some ways. You know, there might be more health elements to it. There might be more, you know, protective barriers between desks, those sort of things. The office might also become more of a place where people don't have assigned desks and just come in on some days and work at home from others. So there are those changes that most people think will happen, but no one really thinks the days of the office are gone. I think people will still come back to the office. There'll just be less office space that companies use in total. And again, that'll be a problem for landlords.
Conrad Poutsier, I appreciate the conversation. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, we know a lot of MBA students listen to the podcast, and the pandemic raises special questions for business schools, more so than most graduate programs. A big part of an MBA comes from the in-person experience, meeting potential employers, networking with classmates, and all the stuff that happens after class, trips abroad, and drinks. Top business schools are mindful that they need to deliver on these expectations, especially when students are paying upwards of $200,000. So they've tried to strike a balance in the pandemic, with many schools initially planning a mix of on-campus and virtual teaching. But now, as COVID-19 gets worse in parts of the country, several big programs are changing plans. Patrick Thomas covers B schools for the Journal.
Most programs have said for really months now that they were going to do some sort of hybrid model where they were going to mix in-person and virtual elements, try and do small groups on campus. But in the last week, that has started to change. Some programs have said that cases across the country are just too high and they're going to go straight to an online-only model or have some small in-person element for international students. But for the most part, some big names like Wharton and Georgetown have started to shift away from the hybrid models they had spent months talking about and going to online. Some are still saying hybrid. Harvard Business School, Cal's school, and Columbia have said they're committed to their hybrid flex blended model. They have campuses without large undergraduate populations. They are often a little bit more isolated from the rest of the campus. Harvard Business School is kind of its own little village out across the river from the main campus. So it's kind of a mix right now.
And that's what's news for Thursday. We'll be back with a new episode tonight. If you like the show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.